That's better. Look at that. It's not popping into the red at all.
Just do that. It's too quiet now.
Now you think it's too quiet? I think they'll be fine with it. You guys okay with it?
That was Devo, Gates of Steel.
Oh.
Not the whole thing. It wasn't the whole thing.
Don't play the whole thing because we'll get in trouble for that. Oh, hey, everyone.
Tonight on Miami Vice, Crockett gets the boss a coffee.
Yeah, we were just talking about Ace Ventura. That's why he did that.
Oh, we love Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura is great.
Still
man.
Funny.
It's still really funny. You know, he was being interviewed.
Here, Snowflake. I've got a little snack for you.
There was a thing online where I saw him getting interviewed, and he said he was thinking about reprising Ace Ventura and Mask.
Really?
Like, coming back to those two. He'd said before that he wasn't interested after, I think, Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
But then, at some other interview I just read, he said that he was looking back at those roles and thinking maybe there's a little bit left to him.
That's funny, because to him, he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
He doesn't exist. No,
just the body that he's inhabiting in that moment.
It wants to do Ace
is
Ventura.
Is thinking about maybe doing another Ace Ventura movie.
I would see another Ace Ventura.
I would probably do it because I did still get laughs out of the second one, even though it wasn't technically a good movie at all.
Yeah, it's not a good sequel.
But it did have some funny parts.
Part of the rhinos is pretty funny.
It's very funny. Kind of hot in these rhinos.
Hey everybody, it's a new episode of Action Features. It's episode 126. I didn't even realize last episode that was our 125th episode.
Nobody cares.
See, nobody cares. In this episode, we're going to do a random kind of free-for-all stuff.
Yeah, we did a couple interviews lately, as you all know.
Yeah, what? Didn't we have like an episode in between? We did something?
We did in between.
But it was like a short one or something?
I think it was short, yeah. And just in case anybody, listeners haven't figured it out yet, when we do an interview, you're going to get a sort of a different episode than what it would be with just James and I, because... And we're trying to put on a little air of professionality, and we're trying to get a good...
Well, we want to get as much information out of the interview. They're taking their time to come on here.
It's supposed to be an interview. It's not, you know... These people aren't actually here hanging out with us, otherwise it might be different.
I mean, we love just having the two of us, too, and those are fun.
I love it, too!
But anytime you get somebody on, it's best to give them kind of a spotlight on the show.
That's why we're having them on, is to have a spotlight.
Yeah.
So...
But we do appreciate the people that ask for the regular episodes, too, because that means they like it. You know, like Jason Leonard really likes the regular episodes.
So yeah.
We appreciate hearing that. So, yeah, this will be a free-for-all episode. Just random stuff that we've tried to remember over the last few weeks, but I'm sure there's been plenty of things that have happened that neither of us...
It's old news now, I'm sure.
And they're all... Everything's old news. So, you wanna jump in first, or...?
First of all, I have a box of...
Hey, nerds.
Nerds here. You know what that's from? That's from Halloween.
Halloween's. We had a good time at Halloween.
Yeah?
Yeah. We did Gravity Falls this time, which is a cartoon we really enjoy. And Blaze is now too old to dress up. So, at least, I don't think he's too old to dress up. He's like, I think I'm good. I think I'm good on dressing up. He's 15.
He's coming of age now.
He's a young man now. So, he handed out the candy.
Yeah.
And we took Gracie and Keaton out, and they wanted to do Gravity Falls. So, Keaton was Dipper, and... Gracie was Mabel, and Bobby went as Wendy, and I went as Robbie, which if anybody knows Gravity Falls, then they know who we're talking about. It was fun, man. Gracie was way into it because she's 3 now, so she really understands more what's going on in the deal with holidays. Super excited at every house.
Yeah.
Was surprised. I was like excited and surprised at each house when she got candy. She was trick-or-treat, thinks she got the candy, and she would yell back to Bobby, I got candy at this one. Like, I can't eat this one,
that
too.
That would be surprising, actually, probably.
Like, it works out. Like, I have to just say something, you get candy.
This worked on the last one, but I'm not sure
I'm
about
not so
this
sure
house.
I'm not sure if it'll keep up. But every house, it worked out. There was one house, kind of ticked me off a little bit.
What all did they do?
They were fully decorated.
Yeah.
You know, all decorations going on. Their light was on. The music was playing. They had a big thing on the door. The lights were on in the house.
I'm intrigued so far.
We're like, oh, this one will be fun. So we went up to it, knocked on the door, nothing. Rang the doorbell, nothing. Like, well, this is weird. So I knock one more time. This lady comes, she peeks her head out, and she's like, oh, we're not giving out candy.
What?
There's some other houses on the street, though, that are giving her out. And like, shuts the door. I'm like, why did you do all this then?
Well, who's that for?
What?
Why did they do this? I think since they put up the decorations, they don't have to do candy now.
Okay, if you're not going to do the candy for the trick-or-treaters, then you don't get to be participating in Halloween.
You turn your light off.
You turn the light off. You take your decorations down because you're not part of Halloween.
Though. You're not part of it.
If you're not willing to give out the candy.
They thought they were giving a nice trick by having all the stuff out.
It wasted our time.
Yeah.
It was disappointing. Like, why would you do all this?
Well,
and then not give out the candy?
It's always treats.
It's always treats.
So somebody's got to do the trick part.
She was the trick. She tricked us. She's quite a trick.
That's rough.
So that was super lame. But other than that, it was great Halloween. All right. So what do you got?
Well, I don't think I've discussed it since. I saw Blade Runner.
I still haven't seen it.
You
still
haven't seen it? Some people were wondering what I thought of it, so I'm going to try and say without spoiling anything.
Because I haven't seen it.
Because we could talk about it whenever you do see it.
It'll probably be DVD or Blu-ray.
It'll probably be on DVD by Christmas.
Yeah. It didn't do well.
It did not do well. The first movie did not do well. It is not a general public movie. So I can say this. I did enjoy it. I thought the atmosphere was pretty good. They got a lot of things right with it. The pacing was, it was not a wham, bam action.
The first one's not.
So it was more of a detective story, and I very much appreciated that.
That's good. See, I don't want to jump in. No, it's all right. But Joe came in and talked to me about this today, too, that works here. And he was saying, he's like, if you like the first one, you like this one, because it has the same kind of vibe and the same kind of feel to the movie, and there's slow parts, just like the first one has slow parts. And I appreciate that. That they didn't amp things up. Like Alien Covenant looks like it really amps up the Alien. Whereas you really just want a continuation of what Ridley Scott did with Alien, and maybe Ridley Scott more Alien films. But it feels like he's amped it up. Here's CGI Alien that's bashing its head on the glass.
Right.
Where it's like, that's not what people want from a Ridley Scott Alien film. So to hear that they just repeated the same formula of the original film, that's mostly, to me, is great.
Mostly, yeah. I will say there's a little bit more light in it.
Yeah.
So like the first one is all at nighttime until the end, which is good. It fits. But there's a little bit more variation, so that was nice. And but I will say that it probably could have been 15 to 30 minutes shorter.
Really?
Easily, yeah. It felt.
Is that because you had to take a dump?
Yeah.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt really long.
You go to the bathroom before you go in. You know?
I was always told to go after. Hold it until after.
Hold it in.
You'll enjoy it more because your senses will be heightened.
You'll be the edge of your seat.
You'll be on the edge of your seat the whole time. So that's my short and skinny of it, but I was not really disappointed with it.
That's good.
I thought it was good.
I want to see it. It's just, you know, with kids.
It's
tough to go to see that kind of film, especially.
Yeah.
You know, they really want to see Thor Ragnarok. So I think I'm going to be seeing that.
You're going to have to go see it then.
It's getting great reviews though, man. It's like 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's the best reviewed superhero movie of the year. And that's Logan came out this year. And I thought Logan was really, really good.
Wonder Woman this year too?
Wonder Woman was this year. Spider-Man Homecoming was this year.
And Ragnarok is getting the best.
Thor Ragnarok so far has the best reviews.
Wow.
I think they're saying it's the best reviewed Marvel movie of all time too.
Wow.
Which is kind of crazy.
That is crazy.
It could be that we were wrong this whole time with advertising, and it's a different film than what we thought it was going to be. I'll take that.
Milky Way Mini.
Thanks, man.
That's from Halloween.
They want to see it, so I'll probably take them.
Well, you got to.
Maybe this weekend to go see it. I watched Spider-Man Homecoming again. I got the Blu-ray. I haven't seen it since the first time.
I know you're into Spider-Man now.
Yeah, and you know, I enjoyed the movie when I saw it. Like I said on the podcast, that I enjoyed it, that I had some major issues with it.
So how'd it go the second time around?
I the issues were more and more prevalent this time.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the other way around, but
I still love Michael Keaton as Vulture.
Yeah.
But I will say that the film, I really did not really enjoy Spider-Man himself until we got about halfway to two-thirds of the movie. When I don't like spoiling anything at this point to say it. When the Vulture basically reveals that he knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man during the car scene, that's when I really got into the movie, watching it this time around. It's kind of like, oh, kind of slogging through this, and I'm really not enjoying
it. And about how far in is that? Two-thirds,
you said? A half to two-thirds into the movie. Maybe more, more towards two-thirds, I would guess, because it's really the final act of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, he stops doing the whole, I want to be an Avenger. I want to be an Avenger. I got this cool suit. I don't care about school. That I didn't care about at all. Like, I was just, this isn't Spider-Man. I'm not enjoying this at all. And, you know, the more I've gone back to Spider-Man 3, which also has flaws, the more I think it's a solid film in comparison to Spider-Man Homecoming. There's, I think, less things I really hate about Spider-Man 3, whereas there's becoming more and more things that's about Spider-Man Homecoming that I really just don't enjoy. I still like it better than the Andrew Garfield films. I really don't like those at all.
Seems like nobody did.
But I think I might actually prefer Spider-Man 3 to Spider-Man Homecoming at this point. Yeah.
Maybe you can edit all your favorite parts of both movies together.
Make
one movie that's great.
Yeah. you haven't seen it yet, though, have you?
No, I have not seen
it. If you're going to borrow it, you can.
If you have it, I'll borrow it.
I have it, so.
You know I can watch it on my TV at home, on my DVD player.
I know that you can.
DVD and Blu-ray player. I have both.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see. Because, I mean, I know that a lot of times it's my fanaticism that
you about know, the older films
that make me not enjoy the newer ones as much. I'm sure I'm guilty of that with Batman movies and Superman stuff. And I'm sure the Spider-Man thing is also playing here. And I don't think, you're as...
I'm not quite
invested
as... Yeah, I'm not...
In those Raimi Spider-Man films. So I'd be interested to hear what your take is on it, if you've seen it.
I'll give it a watch as a... Just as a movie.
I'll bring it in tomorrow.
I'll watch it as a superhero movie.
Just watch it as a superhero movie.
Okay.
All right. What you got?
Well, since we're talking about Michael Keaton, we'll go into this bit. I heard that Batman... There's a new vehicle. It's called the Sky Fox or something like that.
I have not heard about this.
Matt was telling me about it. He said something about it the other day. I don't know if it's a toy that's out or something. It's a toy. I think it's called the Sky Fox or the
Sky Fox.
The Air Fox or something like that.
What about the Airwolf?
It seems to me that you should not be able to have a character who is named after a specific animal.
Have another...
And then have his other stuff named after other animals.
It's not fair. You've already got the bat.
You already have a bat.
You don't need to have the fox.
It's going to be confusing. You can't have just stuff. Well, I'll just name these after other animals.
Yeah, that's not...
What if a guy wants to be the fox? What if a guy
wants to be Foxman?
Foxman.
And he wants to have a Sky Fox, but Batman's already taken it.
Batman's taken it.
That's not fair.
This has been like, 75 years of everything being the bat something, and all of a sudden they think they're going to... Throwing something else?
Lucius Fox. That's the guy that does the stuff for him.
I don't care. Lucius Fox can drive around.
Well, I made this. You got to call it Sky Fox.
Maybe he did tell him that.
Maybe he said that. I have no idea. I don't know anything about
that. I had the theory that, you know, Batman was afraid of bats. Matt sort of said this too. Maybe he was afraid of other animals too.
He's afraid of a fox.
He's afraid of.
He's scared of a fox.
I'm scared of a fox.
Maybe he's trying to transition out of being Batman.
Maybe he doesn't want to be Batman anymore.
And he's slowly calling things fox things.
Yeah.
Slowly, you know, he'll add like a tail into a suit.
Yeah. I hope so.
Speaking of that, the new Justice League movie, and we talked about this a little bit. I think I talked about this, the Danny Elfman stuff.
Yeah.
This is the first thing for Justice League where I'm actually kind of like, all right, well, that's going to be enjoyable. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to try and give Justice League a fair shake when I see it. But this was,
you can't watch both Marvel and DC comics movies, James.
You can't do both. So Danny Elfman is scoring Justice League. He'd already confirmed that he'll be using the John Williams Superman theme in the movie. And so a lot of people were wondering what he would do with Batman, since his Batman music is iconic and it's the defining music for the Batman character. In this interview, posted a couple days ago, they asked, what will you be doing for Batman? And he said, I won't be writing a new theme for Batman. I'll just be using the Batman theme. And I'm paraphrasing here. And the interviewer said, oh, okay, so you're going to be continuing the Hans Zimmer Batman music from Batman versus Superman. And Dan Elfman's like, no, I'll be using the Batman theme. Hans Zimmer, it's great what he did, but I won't be using that. I'll be using the Batman theme. Batman's really only ever had one movie theme, so that's the theme I'll be using, which is his theme, the theme he wrote for Batman. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the Neil Hefty one from the Batman series. No, it'll be the, of course, the Batman theme from the Tim Burton films. And I think that's great.
That is great.
I think that those themes should be identified with those characters, even carrying into different films. When you, I mean, they carried it into the Batman animated series. That's a version of the Danny Elfman theme.
Right.
So I think it's nice to have that music identified with those characters, especially when it's so good. And I think that that's sorely lacking in the Superman Man of Steel soundtrack and Batman versus Superman, any kind of themes. And I think a lot of the Marvel films are lacking themes to the characters, mm-hmm. where you can hear that music and identify it with that character. Yeah. I think the Spider-Man films have it. Those are Danny Elfman as well. You can identify that. And I think somewhat Captain America had it. I think they did a pretty decent job in Captain America of making a theme mm-hmm. that you identify with that character.
And there's a lot of soundtracks sort of theme absent. It's
really lost.
And that's another thing about Blade Runner. I felt like the Vangelis soundtrack is very, although there are some elements of it, it seemed like something went.
Yeah, I miss that. And the theme, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, yeah. those themes.
Strong.
You can hear that and immediately identify that that's that character. And some people are kind of up in arms about what he said. Like, oh, he's such ego. How dare he kind of say my theme and dismiss the Hans Zimmer music.
He created it.
Well, I mean, I honestly could not even begin to hum the themes that Hans Zimmer wrote. They're beautiful music. But I could not tell you what the themes are for Superman and Batman for the new films. I couldn't tell you. I could recognize the music that they play, but I couldn't say that's the theme. You know, like that in this portion of a score or soundtrack, this is Batman's theme or this is Superman's theme. I'm sorry. When you have iconic music, everybody knows John Williams' Superman theme. You hear that, you know it's Superman.
Yeah.
Of course you should use that. You hear the Batman theme from Danny Elfman, you know it's Batman. Of course you should use it. He's Danny Elfman. He should definitely use it.
Yeah.
So to me, that's exciting.
He's Danny Elfman.
Regardless, I'll be picking up the score for the film.
Yeah.
No matter if I enjoy the film or not, I will definitely pick up the score.
When's the last time he scored something? Has it been a while?
Oh, I mean, he works on stuff all the time. Oh,
okay.
I can't remember what the last film he did was, but I mean, like I said, he did Spider-Man 1 and 2 for sure. And I think he worked on... Man, I can't remember the last thing he did, but he works on stuff.
It's okay, as long as he's active.
Yeah. So that, I think, is really cool. I'm excited about that.
That is cool.
So, what do you got? What do you got
Well,
next?
Speaking of Batman again, Batman and Scooby-Doo are teaming up again for an animated movie.
That looks good!
It looks pretty good. No,
I think they're using the Brave and the Bold animation.
Yeah, the Brave and the Bold animation.
Perfect.
And the all the Scooby-Doo characters look like their classic...
that's exciting.
So it... I used to love, as a child...
Scooby-Doo meets...
And we didn't grow up with DVDs, and I certainly didn't have any VHS copies of Scooby-Doo. So if you caught on TV,
Batman,
it was awesome.
DC does a Scooby-Doo team-up book, and that's probably my favorite book that I see from DC.
No.
They team them up with the classic Batman and Robin. They teamed them up with I can't run through all this different stuff. I think Blue Falcon. I think maybe at one point they teamed up with Space Ghost. I can't remember, but every time one comes in, I look at it and I'm like, that's really cool that they did this in this issue. And it's classic Scooby-Doo. It's not like their revisionist Scooby-Doo apocalypse crap that they're doing.
That's still going?
Yeah, that's still going.
Okay.
So speaking of still on the superhero vein of things, I've been checking out some of the Marvel Legacy comics as they come through. Most of them have been just terrible. I mean, it's no improvement whatsoever. It's just the same garbage they were doing before. I mean, Marvel Legacy itself is still running. They've only had the one issue out so far. So hopefully, maybe by the end of the series, we'll see some kind of changes. But they've already done the renumbering thing a lot of books, and they're called Marvel Legacy, the books are called now. So I don't really know if there will be any changes. But I did pick up Captain America. Written by Mark Waid with art by Samnee, and that was pretty decent. That really, of all the books that I've looked at so far, that felt the most like, we're going to try and fix things. This is Captain America, the way you remember Captain America.
I like Chris Samnee's art.
I do too. I like Chris Samnee's art a lot. And Mark Waid had one of the best runs on Cap that has ever been written. It was really, really good. And so having him on Cap and Samnee doing the art, Mark Waid's kind of a little crazier now on certain things. And some of his writing I don't enjoy as much. But this one issue, I read it and I was like, okay, now that is the way all these books should be. It feels like it's a jumping on point. It feels like the classic version of the character. It feels like it's really trying to bring him back to a point where he's recognizable. More towards if you watch the movies and you want to read Captain America and you gave somebody this book, they would go, okay, that feels like Captain America.
Yeah.
So I do recommend if you want to pick up a Captain America book or you want to check out something Marvel Legacy, picking up that Marvel Legacy Captain America book. That was pretty good.
Get all the books.
I mean, I will pick up the next issue. I'm interested to see where this one goes. So
there you go.
Staying on superhero stuff, unless you've got something else superhero related.
I don't.
I wanted to mention really quick, Punisher's live action Netflix show. The new trailer has hit. I don't know if we talked about it since the show. Since the trailer hit.
No.
I liked him a lot in the Netflix Daredevil series. I thought he was really well handled. They humanized him a bit as opposed to what Punisher really kind of is in the comics. I think he feels more and he's got more emotion and, more heart, I guess, in the Netflix show.
Is this at the beginning of his career as the Punisher?
You know, I don't really know. It feels like he's been doing it for a while because they have information in the Netflix Daredevil show. They've already called him the Punisher. And they've got like a file folder on all the killings he's done and stuff. So I don't know for sure if the Netflix Punisher show takes place before the Daredevil show, but Karen Page shows up in the trailer. So I don't know. That wouldn't make sense because Karen Page meets him for the first time in the Daredevil show.
Okay.
So I don't know where it falls. The thing I don't like about it is that the trailer, and again, I'm inferring from a trailer, it's playing more into the government kind of maybe set up his family to be killed.
Okay.
He's going after government guys, you know, like a faction of the government and military guys that somehow framed him or something. I don't like that. You know, I don't need that. I don't need Punisher versus the government and Punisher versus the U.S. forces. You know, like, there's corruption and there's this and that. But I really like Punisher fighting mobsters
and
gangsters and criminals. And I don't know how much I'm going to enjoy Punisher versus the government.
Yeah.
I still like Bernthal's Punisher. Like I said, I loved him in Daredevil. So I have still hopes. But I wish they wouldn't have gone that route that they're showing in the trailer. And it could be just the trailer. Who knows? I also don't like you sent me the picture of him. In the trailer, there's shots of him with the armor on.
Yeah.
And he looks like real skinny in it. Like he's got a tiny body.
He looks like he has a child's body with a big head. And just a photograph that I saw.
And I know Bernthal's not like that. Even in the trailer, there's shots where he's like that. And it looks weird. Like it looks like he's got this big head, this kid body.
I don't know what happened.
And he looks great in Daredevil. But in this, he looks kind of weird.
He's not a little guy. I've seen him in other movies, and he seems like
he's a big dude. He's a fit guy. But there's just something weird about the way they filmed it.
Yeah, there's some optical illusion going on with his
very odd looking
outfit.
But it gets me back to looking at the Lundgren Punisher again. It's great, man.
Pretty good.
Yeah, he doesn't have the skull shirt. But I'm going to tell you right now, he doesn't have the skull in a lot of the stuff he does as Punisher in the Netflix Daredevil, and I'm sure he won't have the skull a lot in the Netflix Punisher series.
You know what? Dolph can still do it.
Dolph could still be Punisher.
He could be Punisher right now.
And the people that dog the Lundgren Punisher film, I don't know if a lot of them even seen the Lundgren Punisher film. Or if it's, everybody has always said it's bad, so therefore they believe it's bad. Oh, that's terrible. Have you ever seen it? Do you know the Punisher character? Because maybe you wouldn't be saying that if you actually knew those things. Yes, there are problems. They've changed certain things. But every single Marvel Studios film has changed things.
Yeah.
None of them are completely 100% accurate to the comic. They've all made changes. But the heart of the character is there in that Lundgren Punisher film. The origin of the character is basically there in the Punisher film. Yeah. If they're going to change it in the Netflix series so that the government is behind the death of his family, which is what those trailers seem like they're doing, then they're departing very much from the original Punisher origin. And then the Lundgren Punisher film would actually be more accurate to what happens to Punisher's family in the original origin of the character. And I really liked they're humanizing somewhat Punisher's character from the Netflix show to make him more relatable. You can't just see this guy that you'd never want to be or be anywhere near. He's scary, but they want to humanize him a bit so that you can feel for the character, which is understandable. They don't humanize the Lundgren Punisher
really,
for the most part, up until the end of the film. I mean, he looks dead inside. And you can say what you want about Lundgren's acting, but to me, I think he acts amazingly well in that. There's some deleted scenes in that film, like the earlier scenes with him and Louis Gossett Jr., where they're partners. There's a whole like storyline at the beginning of the film where they're partners. It's before his family gets killed, and he's bringing food to him, and he's happy and stuff. And then, you know, you see the flip after his family dies, and he's dead. Like, there, you can see scenes in the film where he looks off to the side, and he's just dead inside. Like, he's dead. It's just like his body's a corpse, basically, being moved to do this mission that he's now on. That's all he is. Yeah. And there's a line in the film where Louis Gossett Jr. is talking about all, he's confronting him in the jail cell, and he's like beating on him, basically. And there's still nothing there. Like, he's just dead. And Louis Gossett Jr. says something like, you know, 125 homicides and in all these years, what do you call that? And he just answers like a work in progress, and that's it. And it's like, that is awesome. That's Punisher, man.
That movie works very well on just the 80s action movie.
It totally does.
If you didn't know, you wouldn't say, oh, this is a comic book movie.
You wouldn't.
If you were into like Cobra or which this would be more serious than Cobra. But if you're into that, or if you're into, if you liked Rambo or any of those Arnold movies, I would say this is a straight up 80s action movie.
Totally.
I really enjoy his talks with God
that he does.
Yeah.
Asking what he is and like, am I justice? Am I punishment? Like, he's kind of asking like, why is he still alive? Like, why didn't he die with his family? Why is he still around? It's so good. Like, I really don't get rewatching it again and again. Like, I don't get the hate. I really don't.
Very stylistic, too, at the end where he gets into the Japanese house, and there's
filmed in red part
of
the
time. I thought it was filmed in red. Yeah. Yep.
It's way better than people give it credit for.
It's pretty good.
It came out at a time, you know, where people were on the Batman hype, and, you know, Batman was, in my opinion, very faithful to the original version of Batman. And maybe they were looking for that. Maybe they were looking for a guy in a costume to see the actual costume on film. But for me, I don't think Punisher really needs the skull for it to be Punisher. You know, he really doesn't need it.
I
do too. But it was created in the 70s where everybody had to have a superhero outfit. Yeah. So that's what he needed to have. But the Punisher as a character is not defined just by a skull and a shirt.
So Dolph could come back and...
Man, he would still rock and he as a Punisher. As an aging Punisher.
He had skulls on his knife.
Skulls on the knife. That's good something. Enough for me. Punisher. Real good.
Yeah.
You should watch it again, man.
Hey, I have it at home.
You should watch it again.
Hey, you know I can watch it.
You know you can watch it again. I bought the Blu-ray.
You got it on Blu-ray. That's
I got it on Blu-ray, man. It's really good. It's really, really good. All right, what do you got?
All I have left is a letter to Mattel. And that's because I really have spent the last month avoiding pretty much everything. I have no idea what's going on. I haven't been watching any news. And I have to say that I have not really missed it. And I feel a little bit better probably overall with not just entertainment news, but other news too. So,
you know, I've gotten to the point where I rarely look at my own Facebook wall feed.
Yeah.
Like from other people talking, I rarely look at it.
Yeah.
I don't ever look at Twitter anymore. I don't ever look at Instagram anymore. I go to specific groups in Facebook that I know, like figure collecting groups or comic collecting groups and stuff like that, because I'm sick of it. I'm sick of seeing other things that I don't want to see anymore. So for me, it's not as distant as you are.
Yeah.
That's why I have more stuff on my list than you do.
That's probably true.
But I completely get what you're saying. That does make you feel better to just kind of go, I don't need to see all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a few more things. Well, unless you want to do the letter first.
That's fine. That's fine.
You want to do your letter first? And then
I'll do the letter. The
discussion going on these other things?
I'll do the letter and then we'll continue the discussion.
All right.
Okay. All right, Mattel, here it is.
Wait a second. Hang on. You got your phone sitting there. I feel like there's like some kind of sound effect or something involved here.
Maybe.
Oh, boy.
We'll see if I can pull it off.
All right.
All right, Mattel, here it is. All bad guys, when the tables are turned on that sniveling He-Man and his do-gooder two-shoes friends. rubbing hands together. It says, in parentheses, rubbing hands together.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, you're writing a letter, so you need to...
I need to let them know what's going on. You need to let them
know what you're doing there.
One, ball kick or fiendish ninja friend of Ninjak. Two, snake eyes. Three.
Snake eyes!
I don't get the problem.
Snake eyes!
Three, sad sack. Brings people...
No explanation in the first two.
Well, no. One, the first one is fiendish ninja friend of Ninjak.
Yeah, that's all you get. And the second one, all you get is snake eyes.
Snake eyes.
Self-explanatory.
Right. Yes.
He's one of the snake men.
He's one of the snake men. That's right.
Yeah.
Sad sack. Brings preternium positive energy levels down with his mope machine. Plus bad news and fast food nutritional facts. Four. Animal. Vicious. Five.
Vicious. That's it.
That's it. Five. Talon Scout.
Talon Scout.
Long binocular eyes and a full quiver of patience make this bad lad the perfect...
Patience. I'll just take my time. My quiver is full of patience. I'm content to sit and wait.
I don't have to get interest yet.
I'll wait for the perfect opportunity.
Oh. Long binocular eyes and a full quiver of patience make this bad lad the perfect bird-like defector to find out the Force of Freedom's plans. I was on a roll. Comes with bird wings and computer chip that plays his battle cry when squeezing his wings together.
That guy's loaded down.
Favorite weapon is a mace with spikes. Left for Skullhand's hideout when He-Mail, as he calls him, forgot his birthday and never even bought him a late gift.
Email. That's great.
That's what he called.
That one's a complicated one. You spent all the time on that one.
I spent all the time on the one.
The other one got... The other one's got...
I couldn't afford...
You know, they're a little lean on the expectations.
Couldn't afford that much. Six. Body bad. Evil trickster designed to kill people on the home planet Preternia.
Designed to kill people.
Yeah.
The other ones are. The other ones are designed for
they
that.
They happened into it.
What I really need is someone that's designed to kill He-Man.
Yeah.
He-Mail.
By the way, what the happened with your Conan the Adventurer line, and why are you still in business? I would have made a better product by pressing my into some GAC or Play-Doh and packaging it on blister cards. So I hope we can work something out with my new ideas to be made, and we can work something out.
Yeah, we can work something out, and maybe we can work something out. Yeah, Conan the Adventurer figures? Terrible. What happened there?
Biggest disappointment.
They're huge. Biggest disappointment because they're huge. Why are they so big? It's like they had two ups, and they didn't realize they should have shrank them down. So they just left them huge.
You know, the sculpts are not good either.
They're way too big. They have stupid action features. They're big.
A pull string.
And they're big.
They have a pull string.
Yeah, they're terrible. Conan the Adventurer.
I remember. I loved it. That cartoon was on.
Yep.
Went to the store. What is this?
I'm not buying these.
That was during the era when Hasbro was doing...
Baby? I can't buy these things.
Hasbro was doing the 5-inch figures with the good, like, solid sculpts.
Yep.
What happened?
These look more like jumbo-sized Hasbro wrestling figures.
Yeah.
Like, they've taken those and just made them big.
But without the fun. But
without the fun. Just lame.
They're really bad.
It's big and lame. Terrible, man. Speaking of figures, and retro, Marvel Legends Retro Wave is just now hitting stores. That's the vintage-ized Marvel Legends, where they've taken existing figures and they've put them on card backs that are homages to the old Toy Biz Marvel Superheroes card backs. These figures are awesome.
Very cool.
I really, really like them. I mean, we've known they've been coming for a few months, But actually having them in person, and, you know, they're all re-released characters, but they really did a good job of taking an existing character or figure and doing the things on it that people wanted to see.
Kind of giving definitive...
giving a definitive version of this character on this card back. The card backs are so cool. It's really, really neat to see them on that packaging. Walmart even has like a special display that they put them in, and it's like yellow and it's got old artwork on it. It looks really neat. Looks like something that would have been in the stores in the 90s. I'm a huge fan of them. I hope they keep those going and just re-release characters that have maybe been gone from stores for a while, but do like a definitive version. You don't need the build-a-figure part with them. They're just giving you definitive versions that fit like a 90s aesthetic still of these characters. Like, it's the best Spider-Man they've ever done. Even if it doesn't come all the other stuff, the colors are great. Captain America's great. Wolverine's great. They're all just really solid figures.
Yeah.
So if you've been thinking about going back and picking up some Marvel Legends, you should really check these out.
Start there.
They're really great figures. The Punisher is the only one, even though I love the Punisher figure and they've made some improvements that aren't immediately apparent when you get the Punisher figure. Because the Punisher they just did at Walgreens, I think it was, just about a year or so ago, is really good. And everybody thought, well, that's a great Punisher. You know, we really don't need an update. But then they brought this one out, and it's like, okay, they did little things to make it even more of a classic Punisher. But the only drawback on the figure is he comes with just one big, weird rocket launcher.
Hmm.
So it got me looking for 1/12 scale weapons.
Weapons.
And which are kind of tough to come by. There's a line at Toys R Us.
I didn't know you needed weapons for that. I have some.
Oh, I could use some.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have some, I'd love to have those. So, but it got me looking for weapons, and there's a line of figures at Toys R Us now. There's a whole aisle of, like, Chatmai type military guys, mm-hmm. vehicles and everything. And they're 3 3/4 scale, but a lot of the weapons
are too big for that scale.
Yeah. But they're perfect for 1/12 scale. Yeah. So I got a couple of those, but I got me looking online to see if anybody made just weapons. There's a couple of eBay sellers, but there's a place called Marauders Gun Runners.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be getting into 1/12 scale, it seems like. But I went through and looked at their site at all the stuff they were doing at 1/18 scale, and it's really cool, yeah,
really,
man.
They have really good stuff.
They do really great stuff, like great weapons, and they've even got their own figures now mm-hmm. that they make. Mm-hmm. And they're mostly just like generic kind of military type guys or, you know, SWAT type looking guys or something. But they're really cool that they went from just doing weapons to doing figures too. So, you know, even though we don't have a huge listener audience, I just wanted to give them a shout out on here that if you're looking for 1/18 scale weapons to put in your like G.I. Joes to make them more realistic, or if you want to get into, you know, the 1/12 scale stuff when it starts hitting, Marauders Gun Runners, check them out. They do some really, really cool stuff. So
I've come across them in my searches.
The last thing I have written down was a little bit of Star Wars The Last Jedi talk.
Oh, okay.
I saw a new kind of snippet trailer mm-hmm. thing. Did you see this?
I don't know.
Well, they have a new one. It's basically just reusing footage from some of the other ones, but there is new stuff in there. And the opening sequence, it gave me chills.
Is it Luke getting on the
Falcon? It's Luke getting on Falcon? The Falcon.
Yeah.
That was a pretty cool moment. You know, I almost wish they would have saved it for the movie.
Yeah.
To see it when I saw the movie for the first time. But it was really cool seeing his character on the Falcon again. I mean, we all knew it was coming.
You knew it was happening.
But it was cool to see it. I will say, though, that some of the posters and the advertising has got me a little bit worried, because there's been light side posters and dark side posters, and Luke's on both of them.
I see.
So if they turn Luke to the dark side,
I'm pretty sure he's
not going to be happy.
I'm pretty sure he's out of it, at least for some of it. I would like to see it be a redemption story for him to come back, but it wouldn't be the first time, you know, they had like Dark Empire
where he kind of dabbles in it. But I mean, this is the first time we're getting to see Luke in so long in live action with Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
But I really don't want to think about him being part of the dark side. Yeah. Like, I don't know. There's certain things you don't always need to turn the heroes dark.
Right.
You know? Yeah, Dark Empire was enjoyable. But in that series, even then, he wasn't really fully dark.
Yeah, he was
just kind of tricking.
He was undercover, basically, yeah.
You don't always have to have our heroes have a dark moment.
It is nice to have someone stay the course.
Yeah. I would like to see Luke be the character that's.
Well, that's what I'm hoping that it is going to be. He's in a bad place, and he gets turned back. Not that maybe he's not turned all the way to the dark side, but
yeah, maybe he's in such despair over the whole Kylo thing that it almost feels like he's in a dark place, yeah. And that's why he's in the dark side half of it, and she kind of pulls him back to being what he is.
I'd be okay with some sort of internal struggle and
good trying. But fully saying he's part of the dark side, that would be kind of a bummer.
That would be a bummer.
There's also, I guess there's a movie ticket thing, or Disney's given a hard time to movie theaters about this. Like, there's a really tough deal that movie theaters have to abide by to be able to show The Last Jedi. And it's not that much more of a tough deal than Force Awakens was, but I didn't realize that Force Awakens, they'd done this. You have to assign your largest auditorium to Star Wars for 4 weeks. You have to do it for 4 weeks, okay, that's understandable. But as opposed to the normal 55% that the movie theater, or the movie distribution company and the production company, Disney, gets out of movie tickets, the usual 55% that the theaters have to hand over, they want 65%. That's a pretty big jump. It was 64%, though, for Force Awakens, which a lot of the articles aren't saying that, but a few of them have gone back and corrected, saying, well, it looks like they already had a big deal going for Force Awakens, where they got 64% instead of 55%. Now it's 65% instead of 55%. And if you don't abide by every single little rule, they get an extra 5%. Top of that, Disney does. So then they get 70%.
These theaters are sort of struggling anyway, is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I don't really get...
Yet another reason for me to not want to give Disney any of my money.
I somewhat understand now why movie theaters keep having to raise all these prices. If they're having to give 65% of their ticket prices right out the gate to Disney for one movie... And to be able to show it and have to do all these other things, where they got to designate all this stuff, I can kind of understand why movie tickets are so expensive. Yeah. You see how many people work in there, and they're already right off the bat only getting 45% of whatever you spend for a movie ticket.
What other costs are involved with showing a film? Don't they have to pay for the movie to begin with?
For something to begin with.
Yeah.
It's not just they get the 65%.
Right.
I think they have to pay some kind of fee to the movie companies to be able to have their movies.
Yeah.
But that's crazy, man.
That is crazy. Well,
65%. I keep saying 45%. It's 35%. That's what they're getting to keep. 35%.
I was told a while back that they make their money on the popcorn.
Really. They have to.
So
they have to be making the money on the concessions.
Well, you know they're making money on the concessions.
Concessions are expensive.
They're expensive.
But the more now,
but that's where they make their money, and not from ticket sales.
Yeah. And I know that the amount diminishes that they have to pay a movie the actual companies. As the longer the movie is there, the less the percentage is that they pay. I think it's a diminishing thing, but you're also getting a diminishing return on the movie as you go along.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting less and less people. The theater stays the same.
Yeah.
You know, the space stays the same. The production to put the theater or to put the thing on the screen all costs the same, but you have less people in there paying a ticket. So you should have to pay less percentage because you're making less money.
Right.
That's, man, crazy.
Disney is going to, they're going to milk it. They got 10 years worth of movies slated, I guess.
That's what it is. That's what Kathleen Kennedy just said.
Right. So.
But I also read a thing today now that Marvel is going, and Marvel's denying it, but all the industry insiders are saying it's true, is that Marvel will no longer be able to shop their properties to other channels, networks, like movie distribution companies. It'll have to be a Disney owned thing. So no more Netflix, no more Hulu or whatever, which ones aren't owned by Disney. No go. They won't be able to produce any new content for those places. It'll just be Disney.
Well, they've got a cash cow. They've got a couple cash cows.
Oh yeah, man.
And they're doing it. But that's the type of thing that kind of turns me off when it's like, well, you're really just making Star Wars movies for money, which is the ultimate. I have to decline this call. Sorry, Chad. I know the motivation is ultimately to make money. You want to make money.
Every company. That's your motivation.
It's not like George Lucas where he had this thing that he was kind of passionate about and he made it and happened to make money. We're just going to keep going, we're just going to do this for the money.
Yeah, we're going to... Why would you also just say we're going to do this for 10 years? Well, you don't even know how people are going to receive these next few films.
We'll see.
You don't know if anybody has a definitive story they want to tell to continue on. Yeah. You just know that you're going to make 10 more years of Star Wars movies. It's like, you're putting the money before the project, then you're putting the money before the artistic endeavor. That's why when they announce sequels to films that haven't even come out yet, it's like, okay, that's going to be too much. Plus, when you have everything, like Marvel, Disney's got it going right now with the actual Disney films. The Marvel films, the Star Wars films, they're all from them. So there's really not a lot of competition they have on a lot of fronts. You're going to go see an action-adventure movie? You're probably going to see either a Star Wars movie, a Marvel movie, or some kind of Disney-owned movie. Yeah. There's very few other ones that are even eking their way into theaters now. So it's like, you don't really have to try that hard because you've got it locked down. You've all got it covered. You've got every kind of genre covered. Why do you even have to try?
They don't have to try.
Kind of sucks. All right.
Oh, well.
So I guess that's about it, right?
Yeah, that's all I've got.
That's all I got, too.
Whoa, man.
This one ran 46 minutes. That's a pretty good in-between episode, I think.
That's okay. I'm okay to do less. You can do less every once in a while. It's okay. Yeah. We could just let it go out for another 15 minutes. No? Okay. That's not. All right.
So this has been James and Mike with another episode of Action Features. As always, we love your input. So if you want to go to facebook.com/actionfeatures and leave a post for us, message us, comment on this post, whatever, just give us some feedback as to what you're enjoying, what you're not enjoying, what you hear more of, your thoughts on the episode.
What you want to hear about next all that time. Stuff. There were some suggestions to have involve listeners more with some call-ins or something like that.
Yeah, I think we mentioned it on the last episode. I don't think we did.
Maybe the time before. Anyway, we're trying to figure out a good way, since we're not recording it live necessarily, we're trying to figure out a good way for call-ins to happen.
Which is a great idea.
If you called in, you wouldn't exactly know what was going on in the moment, but
it
could be that way.
You wouldn't. It's not like a live show where you'd be able to follow along and then call in and go, hey, I want to talk to you guys about this.
So if you guys think you want to take a chance on just calling during the time period and we say, hey, we're talking about this, what do you think? And you weigh in, that could be fun.
That could definitely work.
That could be fun.
And most of the people that would be willing to call in know the show.
Yeah.
They know that kind of stuff we talk about. And they're up on that stuff.
Yeah.
So if we called and said, hey, we saw Thor Ragnarok and what did you think about it? If you'd seen the movie, you know, you could just jump in and talk about that. You'd also have to be comfortable with being... Some people get uncomfortable with being on an air.
Hopefully they wouldn't call if they were uncomfortable.
Yeah, I would hope they wouldn't. But there's definitely some people that would love to have call in and talk to us on the show for sure.
We'll work it out, but we are interested in hearing any suggestions or thoughts.
And we record usually Thursday nights from about 5:30 until about 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So anybody that would want to call into the show would have to be able to work into that time period.
Yeah.
We're not going to make a special recording.
We're not going to do a special recording for most people.
We're not going to do it. You have to be able to fit in that time period.
Do it for John Fleskus.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. So this is James and Mike.
Action Features.
See us.